down through the years. God's been good to me. Oh, down through the years. Put those hands together. God's been good to me. Oh, down through the years. God's been good to me. He's been good. He's been good. He's been good. Can I say it again? Down through the years, God's been good to me. Oh, down through the years, God's been good to me. Oh, down through the years, God's been good to me. He's been good. He's been good. He's been good. Now watch this. God's been good to me, yeah, all of my life. Come on, wave your hands. God's been good to me, yeah, all of my life. God's been good to me. He's been good. He's been good. He's been good. Come on, put those hands together. God has been good to you. Put those hands together and praise Him. Yeah. Hallelujah. Y'all seem like y'all want to have some church this morning. God's been good to me. Hallelujah. We give honor to God, who's the head of our life. Amen to Pastor Shannon, Dr. Shannon, let's give him a hand. Amen. A couple months ago when he and I were meeting during my internship meeting, I just was sick. Like the old folk would say, I was low sick. And when I got here, he recognized it, and I sat in his office. I told him I didn't feel good. He got up. I could just imagine him putting his apron on like Mama would. He got me emergency. He got me tea. And, I mean, his paternal instincts kicked in, and he took care of me. Amen? So when I saw him sick, I said, oh, man, I better step it up. Amen. And I thank God for him, and that's why when he called me yesterday, I said yes, yes, and yes, because, amen, Dr. Shannon has been good, amen, amen, I love you, amen, to all my ecclesiastical brothers in the ministry, amen, my brothers and sisters, everybody, somebody say everybody, everybody. Amen, to my mom, my ride or die, wave your hand, the one that looked just like me. I feel like I've been here the longest, man. Amen. To my good friend, a seminarian partner of mine, amen, Reverend Stephanie Franco, wave your hand. Amen. She is awesome. Amen. She is one of those silent trailblazers who is behind the scenes working. Amen. Amen. Sometimes it's about the people behind the scenes working, not in the forefront, but behind. Amen. Amen. We are going to look away to the Lord right now. There is a word from God. Not a long word. Amen. John, the second chapter. Chapter 2, verses 7 through 10. We are going to have some fun in the Lord today. Amen. Amen. When you have it, say amen. Reason so. New Living Translation. Jesus told the servants, fill the jars with water. When the jars had been filled, he said, now dip some out and take it to the master of ceremonies so that the servants following his instructions dip some out. No. So the servants follow his instructions. When the master of ceremonies tasted the water that was now wine, not knowing where it had come from, he called the bridegroom over. A host always serves the best wine first, he said. Then when everybody had a lot of drink, he brings out the less expensive wine. But you have kept the best till now. Somebody say amen. Amen. Today, I want to talk to you about the benefits that come from listening to God. Amen? Amen. The benefits that come from listening to God. You may be seated. The benefits. Somebody say benefits. I like benefits. The benefits that come from listening to God. Amen. Let us look away to the Lord. Eternal God, our Father, we come right now lifting you up above the earth, God, just to say thank you, God. God, you've been a good God. God, you've been a magnificent God. So for that, we say thank you, God. God, forgive me, God. I come right now confessing, God, that I haven't been so holy, neither have I been so righteous, God. But you said if I confess my sins to you, that you'd be faithful and just, God, to forgive me of my sins, God, that you would even care enough to cast them into the sea of forgetfulness, and that you would choose to remember them no more. Now, God, lure us into the storehouse of knowledge. Give us content and clarity, God. A rhema word right now, God. Lord, we need to hear from you right now, God, so that will be all of you and none of me, God, so that self might be crucified, the devil in hell might be horrified, and Lord, you might be glorified. In Jesus' name, let the people of God say amen, amen, amen. The benefits of listening to God. Somebody today is in a bad marriage or in a relationship just because they didn't listen to God. Somebody say hallelujah. You went for tall, dark, and handsome, who didn't care about you, and you pushed aside short, brown, and stubby. What y'all laughing at? The little guy that'll love him, they look past him. Somebody home is on the verge of being foreclosed on because they went out and got a McMansion when God told them just to get a regular, nice, quaint house. Not listening to God. Somebody's hiding their car from the repo man. I bet you wish you'd have got that little Chevy Vega now instead of that big truck now, don't you? Just because they didn't listen to God. See, that's the little dirty secret. That's the problem with free will. We can do what we want, but it doesn't mean it's going to work. Somebody say hallelujah. Somebody's working a job right now on the verge of having a nervous breakdown just because they took the job that God told them not to take. The benefits that come from listening to God. Somebody say hallelujah. There was a portly man who got up after New Year's, went to the doctor. He had decided it was time to lose weight, like all of us do. He went to the doctor, saw this dietitian, and the dietitian had told him, I got this new diet you have to try. He says, all you have to do is eat what you want on the first day, eat what you want on the second day, and you need to skip the third day. Skip all day the third day. The guy leaves out. He said, I'm going to try it tomorrow. He eats all he wants the first day. He eats all he wants on the second day. The third day, he winds up in the emergency room. Almost dead, almost having a heart attack, heart palpitations, out of breath. Goes to his follow-up appointment, sees the same doctor. The doctor said, how did the diet go? I saw that you had been in the emergency room. He said, well, I did just what you said, and I ought to sue you for malpractice. He said, the first day I ate all I wanted, everything was okay. The second day I ate everything I wanted, and it was okay. The third day I got up and skipped down the street all day. And I almost died. Somebody gonna get that on the way home. She just got it. God bless her. The benefits that come from listening to God, now we can see it is important to follow directions. We see that in our text today.
And that's why I thank God for the Bible, because you can take scripture and come at it from all different angles. I want to look at following instructions today through this text. Verse 1 says, the next day, there was a wedding celebration in the village of Cana in Galilee. Jesus' mother was there, and Jesus and his disciples were also invited to the celebration. Jesus' mother being there made this thing important to Jesus. Just like anything our mother does should be important to us, barring that we have a good relationship with our mother, it was the same way with Jesus. Jesus' mother was there, so he wanted to be there, and it was important to him to support it. I want you to understand today, first of all, that the same thing goes for us. Whatever situation we find ourselves in life, wherever we find ourselves at that moment, Jesus cares, and it's important to him just because we are there. Somebody say hallelujah. In the first of the second scriptures, we find out that it an important example of what it should be to be a Christian. Jesus, God incarnate, was on a mission. He was on a mission to save humanity. He was called the new Adam, the new Adam. It was the greatest mission in history of mankind. Somebody to come and take everybody's sins, past, present, and future, among them to save all of us. Somebody say all of us. However, what we see in this first scripture is that Jesus took time out from saving the world to go to a wedding. Wow. No pressure, no drama. Took time out to go to this wedding. So what I want you to see first is that it is important for us to take time out and relax and to socialize. Somebody say hallelujah. It's nothing like a Christian that is so heavenly minded that they're no earthly good. Somebody say hallelujah. You need to learn how to relax. Somebody say relax. Jesus took time out to go to this celebration. This shows us that we should take time out to let our hair down just a little bit and relax and learn how to enjoy life. But you've got to understand something. Throughout Jesus' mission, Jesus liked going to gatherings like this because it was a chance for him to socialize with people. Don't you understand that when God puts you in certain situations, when God sends you to certain events, that is an opportunity for people to see the Jesus in you? These social gatherings should be part of our missions. It was a part of Jesus' missions. He valued them. Why? Because Jesus knew that somewhere, somehow, he was going to touch somebody. You should be on a mission everywhere you go. You should be touching somebody. Somebody say hallelujah. We need to learn how to balance our lives with bringing Jesus with us when we go to work, when we go to school, and when we go home. When we learn how to take Jesus everywhere with us, people won't mind coming to church with us. And this place will be full. Can you ask your neighbor to come to church with you? Would they come if you invited them to church with you? Or are you the get off my lawn man on the block? I'm the get off my lawn man on the block. I don't know if they come with me. Verse 3 says, the wine supply at this festivity ran out during the dinner. So Jesus' mother told him, they have no more wine. Wine. Weddings during ancient Israel times, ancient times, they were a week-long event. Banquets would be lavished, and they would be prepared, and they would be able to accommodate many guests. People spent a week celebrating a new couple's life together. And if I could stick a pin, then maybe we need to go back spending a week coalescing around couples so that they can make it. Somebody say hallelujah. Because what we're doing now ain't working. Oftentimes, the whole town would be invited to this particular wedding, and everybody would come, because if you didn't come, it was considered an insult. Now, also, everybody would come because most of these people were from African descent, and black people not going to mess up a meal.
Well, wait a minute. I'm sorry. I'm in the wrong place.
To accommodate all the people that would be attending, they would have a lot, and it would be planned out months and years ahead of time, because people who would come to accommodate them, they would be eating all they wanted for free. They would be drinking all the wine they wanted to drink for free. So you've got to understand that this was carefully planned out. Because if it wasn't planned out, and if you did run out of food or drink, you would actually be breaking an unspoken rule. So they had it together. Mary was the host of this wedding. As the host of the wedding, you had to be a person of means. So Mary wasn't a poor person. See, the problem with us is we got poor people planning our party. Somebody say hallelujah. If I could stick a pin there, the problem with the church is we got poor people on the board. Somebody say hallelujah. When you put rich folk on the board, the rich folk know how to make up the difference. When you put rich people in charge of your wedding, they know how to make up the difference. Somebody say hallelujah. Mary was a woman of social status. So she had to do something. They have no more wine. She runs to Jesus and says. Now, if I could stick a pin there, also, I want to note something interesting. This particular text, this particular passage of Scripture is where the Roman Catholics get their Mary as an intercessor, because they believe that Mary interceded and went to Jesus, and Jesus did it, his first miracle, just because Mary interceded for them. But how many of you know we don't have to go through Mary to get what we need? We can go right to Jesus. Somebody say Jesus. Somebody call Jesus. Come on, one more time. Somebody call Jesus. Most of us don't have a problem. We just don't know how to use the name of Jesus. They're at the wedding. They run out of liquor. Then this means. Now, I want you to really think about this. In my lifetime, I've done a number of weddings, and I've been to a number of weddings, and I've been to a number of banquets, and I've never, ever in my life, in 38 and three quarter years, you want to mess somebody up, tell them your age and years. How old are you? I'm 136 months. They'd be like, huh? Never in my life have I been to a party and they ran out of alcohol. Never. You can get cheap liquor anywhere. So this means if they could run out of alcohol, and the people who sponsored the event, who were of means, this means the people drank it all up, and these folk were drunk. They were drunk. They were scummy. I didn't say it. The Bible said it. Now watch this. The people had drank all the wine up. They had ran out. And Mary says, you have got to do something. Something is wrong, Jesus. You got to come and take care of this. Jesus came and he stood there. Now, this is what I like about Jesus. Everybody wants to paint Jesus as this figure that's above the crowd. Everybody wants to paint Jesus as this pious, holy, religious person that you have to bend down and kiss his hands. But Jesus was right there in the crowd with the people. This means that Jesus liked hanging around drunk folks. Somebody say hallelujah. Jesus liked hanging around the people we don't want to hang around. Somebody say hallelujah. If Jesus was here today, he'd be on the west side of Chicago standing on the corner joking to the drug dealers. He'd be on Cicero and Lake Street talking to the prostitute. He wouldn't be up in here. I'm talking about the Bible. No more wine, Jesus. The folk have drunk it all. This means Jesus and his disciples. See, you know what? This was Jesus. Jesus was just a week into ministry, so we don't even know how many disciples were with him. But the people that were with him, they saw that Jesus was hanging around folk that nobody else wanted to hang around, the drunk people, the drug addicts. This means that Jesus didn't mind hanging around unsavory folk. So why do we mind hanging around unsavory folk? If we're going to fill this church, the people who are going to come, they aren't going to look like us. They aren't going to smell like us. They're not going to have our issues. They may not even... Somebody say hallelujah. Jesus said in Mark chapter 2, verse 17, healthy people don't need a doctor. Sick people do. I have come to those who, not for those who think they are righteous. Somebody say church folk. But I've come for the sinners. Jesus wasn't too impressed with church folk because right after this, he went in the temple and messed it up. Verse 4 says, dear woman, that's not our problem, Jesus replies. My time is not yet come. Now watch this. I want to go back to old King James and read his version. He says, Jesus said, woman, this don't concern me. This ain't my problem. Now watch this. I just told you I'm 38 and 3/4, and I don't think right now I could call my mom a woman. Y'all be seeing me running around DuPage County begging somebody to call the police. Because this crazy black woman, as you said, mother, is all on my back. Woman! My time is not yet. Jesus was kind of snappy. Can you imagine talking to your mother like that? Woman! Go home and try that with your wife, Dr. Shemin. Woman! Reverend Smith, you will be preaching next Sunday. Jesus showing us his humanity. My time is not yet. Remember, now you got to think about it. You got to think about it. Jesus is like, my time is not yet. Quit trying to put me on the spot. Now, Mary probably was not looking for a miracle from Jesus because he hadn't performed any miracles. This was his first miracle. Tradition says that Joseph was probably dead. So as the oldest child, Jesus would have stepped in and picked up the pieces where his father wouldn't have been. So no doubt Jesus would have had to go get food. Jesus would have had to go to the store. Jesus would have had to go run errands just like anybody else would. So Mary tells him, I need help. Isn't that how we go to God sometime? We're not necessarily looking for a miracle, but we still go to him. Somebody said, that's the way to do it. 4 says, my hour has not come yet. It is awesome for you to know yourself. Don't let people push you too far out there. Somebody say hallelujah. Know when it's your time. Timing is everything. Verse 5 says, but his mother, isn't it intriguing that she is never called Mary in this gospel? And watch this. This is her last recorded words. We don't hear from Mary no more word for word verbatim. His timing is everything. But watch this. He says, listen. You know my time is not yet. As any mother would do. I told you to wash them dishes. We don't have no soap. Figure it out. I don't have no clean clothes. How am I going to go to school? You better go and figure it out. That's what Jesus and Mary in effect tells Jesus. Guess what? Figure it out. It's perks to being a mother, isn't it? Figure it out. Jesus tells the servants, do whatever he says. And she walks away. Isn't it intriguing that Mary knew how to just walk away and leave it? I'm convinced that most of our problems is we don't know how to take our issues to God and leave them. Somebody say, leave them. As the host of the wedding, Mary was busy. Mary didn't have time to go back and forth with Jesus. Mary didn't have time to debate him. Mary didn't have time to talk to him. Mary didn't even care at this point about him being the savior of the world and having to save everybody because Mary was concerned about saving face. You deal with it. Get me some wine. I know it better be some wine here. And walks away. That's confidence. She effectively dumped her problem in Jesus' lap and walked away. She walked away not knowing how he was going to fix it or when he was going to fix it. We need to take Mary's example. You need to bring your problems. You need to bring your issues and dump them right here at the altar. Dump them and walk away. Forget how Jesus is going to fix it. Forget how what he needs to fix it. But somebody say he'll fix it. Again, that's the problem with free will. We're in charge of our own lives. That's the westernized society. The American patriotic society. I came from the South and pulled myself up by my own bootstraps. Cotton sacks to Cadillacs. I used to sound good when I used to hear that. Cotton sacks to Cadillacs. Yes, sir. We want to tell God how to do it. We want to fix the problems our own way. But how many of you know that you don't have to fix the problems? Listen. While you trying to figure it out, God is already. Verse 6 says, standing nearby were six stones, water jars, used for people ceremonially washing their hands. Each could hold 20 to 30 gallons. Jesus made. Now, watch this. Not only did they run out of wine, Jesus went back and made 180 gallons more wine. Jesus told him, drink up! I came that you may have life! Standing nearby was six stones of water jars used for Jewish ceremonial washing. Each could hold 20 to 30 gallons. Jesus told the servants, fill the jars of water. Jesus knew he needed to do something. See, Mary was his mother. Mary birthed him. So he knew. See, when mama tell you to do something, you know you better do it. You better figure it out. Amen? My mom called me now. I don't be wanting to do it, but I know I better figure it out because I just don't want to hear her mouth, you know. Mary don't ever necessarily have to hit him, but I don't want to hear the fussing. I don't want to hear the complaining. And listen, my mother is the baby of her family, so she is so spoiled. I thought she was going to fix my sink. Mom, I'm going to get to it. Fine. I'm going to call somebody. No, look. I'm going to go to Home Depot and find one of those guys standing outside to come do it. Okay, Mom. I'm going to go find one of them and bring this stranger into my house to fix what you won't come over and fix. Jesus knew he needed to do something. He may have been God incarnate, but Mary was his mama. Not mother, mama. Somebody say mama. Mary was his mama, and he knew he didn't want to disappoint his mama, so he had to get it done. Can I stick another pin there, please? Please, I got a few minutes. Watch this. Women, you want a good husband? Find a man who love his mama and treat his mama right. If he don't have a good relationship with his mama, run. Now, there are asterisks. You know, there are issues. Mama didn't take care of him. Mama didn't raise him. But if you find somebody who don't know how to treat their mama, if they can't respect their mama, they can't respect a woman. Somebody say hallelujah. That was free advice. If you want me to expound on it, call Dr. Shannon on Tuesday, okay? Like he would say, call him. He'll talk to you about it. He'll be well by then. Jesus knew he needed to do something. And it is the same for us. Right now, like Romans says, he may be sitting on the right hand of God the Father Almighty, but he's interceding for us. So when we call him, he knows he has to do something. When you call him, no matter how big or no matter how small, if you got a headache, somebody say, call him. Because I'm convinced if you can call him about something as small as a headache, it won't be such a drag for you to call him for something big. Somebody say, call him. Standing nearby was six jars of water. They were waiting there. Don't you know that God has everything he needs to fix your situation already planted and dropped in your life? It's already there. Jesus told the servants, fill the water. When the jars were filled, he said, now dip some out and take it to the master of ceremonies. Did you catch that? There was speaking and there was an action. Fill the jars with water. See, you so busy not want to look stupid in front of everybody when God has already told you what to do to get yourself out of the situation. Fill the jars with water. You so busy trying to make sure that you can rationalize this thing, but you can't rationalize God because we only know in part and prophesy in part, so we don't know how God is going to fix it. God, he said, my ways are not your ways. Fill these jars with water. All God wants you to do is show some faith. Fill these jars with water. All you got to do is take one step. Fill these jars with water. And when they did it, the water was wine. As I take my seat, all God wants you to do is follow instructions. You've been praying about something. You've been bombarding heaven about something. And God, all he wants you to do is follow instructions. He's told you what to do. He's told you how to do it. And all he wants to see is if you're obedient and if you have faith. That's all faith is. Faith is just taking the step where you don't know how it's going to happen. But guess what? You don't have to know how it's going to happen. You shouldn't care how God is going to fix it as long as he fixes it. Follow instructions. Follow instructions. Somebody say follow instructions. Put those hands together and praise them.